Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste. And those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss the hows of separating and building communities, not the whys. Those who tune in and listen on a regular basis, they already know why we need to separate and build our own communities and our own infrastructure. But what do we do? What are the steps we take to do that? How do we do that? So this is where we have discussions around that. We have guests that discuss various aspects of your preparation, planning, and actually your movement into either building a separate community or moving to one. We say you either control the community that you live in, or if that's not feasible, move to one that you can control. So tonight, we have our Time to Leave member, Sister Sherry 2X. She has a very special interview that has to do with financing separation. You know, how whatever it does, whatever we do in terms of separation, is going to take money. So what should we do? How do we raise the funds? How do we pool our resources? And how do we become independent? So that's part of what's going to be talked about tonight, but I'm going to let Sister Sherry give you the details, and she will also introduce her guests. So I believe this is Sister Sherry here. Is this Sister Sherry?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, ma'am. We're excited about your show, and we're looking forward to you giving a good interview with your guests. So I and both of your guests are already on the line. So I'm going to open their mic, and you can go ahead and introduce them.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Tonight's show is entitled Financing Separation, a National Banking Initiative. And I have the pleasure of introducing Brother Henry 3X and his lovely wife, Sister Keyshonda X. They are registered believers in the Nation of Islam, and they attend the Muhammad Study Group in Rockford, Illinois. And I just want to say welcome, first of all, and thank you for agreeing to this interview, Brother Henry, Sister Keyshonda.
As-salamu alaykum.
Well, like, as-salam. Yes. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Thank you. And they are a husband and wife team, and so they are very, very involved in their community. They're involved in the nation. They're involved in the work of the nation. They are what I call the epitome of a power couple. Some of the things that they're involved in, well, one, they are business owners. They actually have one of the, and I believe the only black-owned beauty supply store in Rockford, Illinois. It's called Key Kiefer's Beauty Supply. Not only do they have their own store, they have their own branded products, and they may want to talk about that, but they also have the Goddess Salon. They also run a school. They help to educate students in the community called Key Kiefer's Entrepreneurial Academy. And also, Brother Henry is a licensed professional, a licensed financial professional, and he is the CEO of WFG Independent Financial Services. And Sister Keyshonda is in partnership with another business, Women's Edition Purses and More. And so we're going to get started with our questions and our topic for this evening. But first, I wanted to ask them and have them tell us a little bit about what brought you into the Nation of Islam and to get you to become a registered believer, and what has Islam done for you since you've been in it? And I'd like to hear from both of you.
Yes, ma'am. First of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness, oh God, but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. Thank you for allowing my husband and I this opportunity to share our story and what we're doing in our community, and thank the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan for his guidance in this time, and I can't wait to hear from him on the 4th of July, so that's exciting.
Yes.
What brought me into the Nation of Islam? I was in college. I was looking for something. I was looking for some guidance, even though I didn't know it at the time. So at the time I came into the Nation of Islam, I had considered myself atheist. And so I was invited to a meeting by my husband, nonetheless. And from that first meeting, I was sold. I was a believer on that first Wednesday night. And I've been a Muslim ever since. And Islam, what Islam has done for me is Islam has given me guidance and structure and organization and helped to develop me to be a striving, righteous woman, a wife, a mother, a friend, a sister. And so,
praise be to Allah. Yes, yes, ma'am.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I just want to greet you both in the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam, sir.
It definitely is a great honor and privilege to be here on this call with you all tonight. And I would just like to give a huge thank you to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I try to keep it a little bit shorter, just saying in that Islam has literally given my life purpose, has taken, you know, like most young men that are in the streets and wasting our lives away with the created world that the enemies created, the Nation of Islam has given my life purpose. It's given me structure, discipline. It's taken my skills, gifts, and talents, and it's put me in a position to where I found myself being successful, as the Quran says that the believers are the successful ones. I found myself being successful to a degree that I never imagined as a child. So I'm eternally grateful to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for the many, many, many wonderful blessings that I've received in my life due to his sacrifice, his struggle, and his journey. So Islam for me has caused a complete 180 change in my lifestyle. So I'm grateful. I've been in the nation now about 18 years, and it's been a beautiful journey.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you both for sharing. And recently I had the pleasure of listening to a presentation that you gave that was dealing with ownership and investment opportunity for the community, a national initiative. I want you to tell us, so what is that initiative, and what is the name of that?
The initiative is the opportunity for us as a nation, as a people, to start to build our own institutions, as the minister said in the beginning. And that initiative is opening, creating, starting, owning our own banking institution and using that as a tool to help us to continue to build other institutions and build communities.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And how long have y'all been working on this initiative?
Doing research for about a year and a half now.
Okay. And is it already completed? Has it started, or is it still in its development phases?
The research or opening the banking institution itself?
So what is the actual, is it going to actually be a bank? Is it actually a bank, the institution, the financial institution for the initiative?
The institution is actually a credit union.
Okay. And do you have a name for it?
Yes, ma'am. It's called Unity Credit Union.
Wonderful, wonderful. And tell us, how did you become interested in starting that? And is it already completed, or is it still in the development phases? Is it open now?
Yes, ma'am. So there's several different phases. Just to add to what she mentioned, it's a national initiative. So there's several different phases to building this thing out. So we're at the final phase of, we're past the researching phase. Right now, we're at the stage of establishing a headquarters location. But the goal behind this credit union is that no matter if you live in Los Angeles, you live in New York, you live in Houston, you live in Detroit, you live in Chicago, no matter where you're at, as long as we have the access, then you will be able to bank with this bank no matter where you're at. And so the beauty of it is that we can pull our resources and open up a way to finance other projects through this project. But the initial credit union will headquarter in Rockford, where we are at. And then from there, we will be able to offer access across the country, you know, through technology, but through co-op share credit unioning, that we can pull our resources as a nation and fulfill what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to pull our resources as a nation.
Beautiful, beautiful. And can you tell us what exactly, what is a credit union, and how is it different from a regular bank?
So a credit union is a financial institution just like a bank. The difference is that it's member owned, and so the purpose of a credit union is not, it doesn't have the same, like, which is profit driven, but credit unions are driven to benefit the members and allow access to its members, allow access to capital to its members in particular. And credit unions, so they tend to offer better savings rates, better loans on rates, better reduced fees, because they're not profit driven. They're driven to serve its membership. And credit unions are also nonprofit entities, whereas banks are for-profit entities.
Okay. Not for profit. Thank you. And are there any disadvantages to having a credit union, or what are some advantages and disadvantages?
Some of the advantages are similar to what I just said. It's member service driven. So they typically, as I said, offer lower interest rates, reduced fees, and more importantly, access to capital and resources to start businesses, to own a home. Some of the disadvantages, and while they are considered disadvantages, the year and a half that we put into doing research and looking up different information, we've met and overcome all the disadvantages, but they exist. So some of those disadvantages are credit unions tend to not have the technology that other institutions have. And so with the research that we've done, we found the technology does exist, and it's within our grasp to take advantage of using that technology so that we're not at a disadvantage. Credit unions also typically have a limited number of locations. And again, through technology and through credit union co-oping, that's not a disadvantage that we would have to face.
Okay, wonderful. So if someone didn't live where it was established at, like in Rockford, Illinois, they could be in another part of the country and still be a member and still take advantage of all of the benefits of being a member of that credit union?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Are there any that they wouldn't be able to take advantage of? Or are there some things that they would have to connect with where it's established at physically?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Okay. And then also, I understand that you all have a mission and a vision for this credit union to help benefit the community. Can you talk a little bit about that, the mission and the vision?
Yes, ma'am. So our mission is to strive to support and provide our members with a safe place for their deposits with a fair return. Very straightforward, very simple. And our vision, we want to aid the broader community in the battle to create jobs and end poverty across America. We want, under the wise economic planning, we want each member to save a nickel a day, 35 cents a week, $1.40 a month, $18.20 a year, because we know that a huge part of pooling our resources is having the capital to be able to use those resources to build. And so needing capital to build, we want our members to save on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. And we want to take those resources, as you said, and build our community.
Awesome. Okay, wonderful. So what steps are left for to be done for this to become a reality, this credit union to become in existence?
So right now we're meeting with, or we're constantly in meetings with the state of Illinois and the federal board, and the National Credit Union Association. So we're walking through the steps right now. One of the last things that we'll do, we have a target location where we would like to open the doors, and we'll purchase that building. But we're in that phase right now of making sure all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed as far as how we'll plan membership out. And so one of the steps that we're in now is gaining interest across the country in those who would be interested in becoming a member owner of a credit union, and laying out really the major benefits of it. You know, we talk about separation, and we separate in theory and we separate mentally, but physical separation, you know, building gated communities, building your own schools, building your own forms of entertainment, building all these things cost money. And it's a good desire to have, but unless we can somehow come into capital to make those things a reality, then we're always at a loss. We just have a theory and an idea. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that he wanted a national bank. And so not for those listening that's not in the Nation of Islam, I don't mean he told me and my wife in particular. It's written in Message of the Black Man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he wanted a national bank, and the major benefit to that is if in your city, you know, you want to buy some land, say you want to buy 50 acres of land and you want to start building those 50 acres of land, but you just don't have the financing, owning our own credit union allows us to cut out redlining. It allows us to cut out some of the unfair advantages and the high interest rates of low credit scores based on inability to pay based on what you have. So it gives us a lot of advantages to offer capital for projects, whereas if you go to a typical bank, if you were to go to your typical financing institution, they may not want to back the initiative, whether that initiative includes us partnering people together, whether it includes us creating a safety net, whatever we have to do to make certain projects happen. But it allows us to literally and physically start financing our projects for separation. So that really is the goal. So the stage we're at now, we're at the stage of gaining those who would be interested, just gaining names, emails, phone numbers of those who would be interested, and then feeding more information to those members, sending out surveys, and asking those members what exactly they would want to see and how they would want it to operate. And from there, we take those numbers, and we work with the state to make sure we're within compliance of all federal guidelines. We obey those in authority over as long as it doesn't conflict with our religion. And once that's done, we'll be able to open our doors. And at that point, we'll be able to offer this service across the country. So we're near the end, but it's more like the middle. But it's close to the end of the first phase and now the middle of the second phase.
Okay. Thank you. And so I heard that there is a requirement for a savings requirement as part of the vision. Are there requirements for someone to get started with becoming a member and continue to be a member of the Unity Credit Union?
Yes, ma'am. So part of the initial funding, if you will, which is a federal and a state requirement, it comes from, or it will come from, us pooling our resources as member owners. And so not every member owner will invest the same amount right away.
Okay. Is there anything
to help build the credit union? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to ask, is there anything else you want us to know, you want to share and say about the Unity Credit Union?
We have an email address that people can reach out to. So one of the steps in becoming a state charter credit union is that you have to complete a survey of about 750 to about 1,000 people. And that survey has to include certain pertinent information, which it will. But basically, this survey has to be sent out via email, and it has to come back saying, yes, I want to be a participant. This is what I'm looking for. This is what's being offered. And so I commit to being a member owner of this credit union. And so the only way for us to be able to do that is to literally get people's physical email address so that we can send the survey out and they can send it back. Before we can submit any paperwork and follow through with this process, we need 750 to 1,000 potential members to give their word, say, yes, I would be a member owner were this credit union to be chartered. So we're at that point of receiving emails or sending out emails and getting them back so that we can continue on in the process of filling out paperwork, crossing T's, dotting I's, and so on and so forth.
Okay, wonderful. And so do you have an email address or other information to share with the listening audience where they can contact you if they're interested in filling out one of these surveys and going through the process to show their support for this coming into being?
Yes, ma'am. That email address is the word Unity, UNITY, .UCU@gmail.com. So again,
okay,
that's the word Unity spelled out, UNITY, .. UCU@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. Unity.UCU@gmail.com. All right.
There's one other thing. There's one other thing
sure.
I wanted to mention also is that so credit unions function with a board, and so this would allow us as a board to always have control over our entities, because in the Black community we saw that from the 60s and the 70s, when integration was introduced to our people, we lost a lot of the Black-owned businesses that we had. We lost a lot of the Black power, as our people said, that we had made strides for and gained. And so by setting up a board or a council, similar to what we have in the Nation of Islam, that council and that board can make sure that the power always remains within our community, and it does not leave out from our community. So that's another added bonus, is you put together a strong board. And so we have potentials for that board as well. I don't want to say them on the radio just yet, until it's confirmed. But we have a very strong board that will also be formed to govern the credit union. And that board will make sure that the power stays, in particular within the Black community, because that's specifically our target community that we're going for, is our community that needs help first and foremost.
Beautiful, beautiful. I agree. All right, yes, I was so excited when I heard the information, the presentation, Unity Credit Union, and the community that it can, all the advantages that it could bring to the community. Any closing words before I turn it back over to Brother Carlton to open it up to the listening audience for questions?
I just want to thank you all again for the opportunity to share our initiative with your listeners and with the world. And thanking the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan again for his dedication and service to our nation. As my husband said before, neither one of us literally would not be here were it not for the minister, the messenger, and Allah, God, and the person of Master Bar Muhammad. So just wanted to, last word, just being all praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you again. Again, Brother Henry and Sister Keyshonda, believers, community involvement, business owners, thank you for sharing. And I know I am in support of the credit union and have already submitted my contact information. And so now I'd like to turn it back over to Brother Carlton to open it up for questions from our listening audience. Brother Carlton?
All right. Yes, ma'am. So far, so good. Excellent show. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, and this is your opportunity to press the 1 on your dial to be recognized so that you can make a comment or ask a question. We have two dynamic guests and a dynamic host, so we'd love to hear from you. And the first caller we have that has pressed the button first is Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum, sir. Dr. Ridgely?
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can hear you now.
All right, assalamu alaikum. Okay, so it's stationed in Rockford, Illinois. Okay, I'm used to, you know, going to my bank. I've been in credit unions before when I was at Norfolk A&T State University. The credit union was right around the corner from the college. I did, you know, so how is it going to work? I'm in Broadwood, Georgia. How is it going to work? How am I going to communicate? How am I going to put money in? How do I go about doing borrowing money? Who makes the decisions? And how does this thing work from a distance?
Excellent question. And so there's this thing called credit union co-ops. So About 98% of credit unions across the country are part of the same credit union co-op. And that means that no matter where you live, almost every credit union is a part of this co-op. So you can bank at any credit union that is in your vicinity, and you can still, you can make deposits, make withdrawals from your bank, from your credit union, at their credit union. What happens is the physical location, as far as making deposits and withdrawals, you don't need to be at the headquarters branch location. Any credit union, you can still bank. As far as staying in tune and staying in touch, say you need to take out a loan or you need to do something business-wise, is that there'll be a fully integrated system that is set up to go with your banking, that you don't have to leave your state, you don't have to leave your city. We can set it up there. The technology exists that all your banking needs can be handled via encryption over the internet. There's not too many things that at least in our research that we've come across that can't be handled that way. And if a project needs specific if it needs specific evaluation, then we can always find those things usually in a city, in your city or near a city, to give a report. Or if we need to, we'll come to you. But those things can be all that can be worked out. But short answer is that every credit union in the country is part of this, not every credit union, but the majority are part of this co-op. So if you bank at a credit union currently, it wouldn't change up how you bank at that credit union. It would only change up that when you make a deposit, they would then forward that deposit on to the main bank, and it would allow us as believers, and it would allow us as those who control the bank, instead of the interest off that money going to that credit union or that bank, that interest would then go into our credit union or our bank, and that would allow us to be able to offer lower loans. That would allow us to be able to pay out dividends to certain member owners. That would allow us to be able to make different offers, because now instead of our money working for somebody else, our money would be working for us.
Okay. So do I have to join the local credit union here as to be able to access the credit union that I want to be a part of there?
No, sir. You would not join your local credit union where you are. You would be a member of Unity Credit Union in Rockford, in Bronzewood, Georgia, in Los Angeles, California. So where you physically join, it doesn't mean that that's where you're an account holder or stakeholder or member holder.
Okay. Now the capital base for the co-op, Unity Co-op, is to be based upon the amount of money that the members put in there, but not the overall national co-op over the co-ops, right? Or the credit union. It just be the amount of capital available based on what we put in and the Unity credit union, right?
Yes, sir. Our resources go to benefit our credit union. So it's kind of like
in the bank.
Go ahead, brother.
So what percentage of the money that's on hand in terms of people have in their bank accounts? How does the percentage of that money you can loan out determine? In other words, in the banking system now, they loan out more money than they actually have because they got a backup with the Federal Reserve. How does it work with your credit union?
It works similarly to how any other credit union makes their loan. And that's actually more of a question for, like, a personal question, if you will. It's not necessarily like a overall general answer, like this is exactly how it's going to go. That's why we'll hire experts and individuals who have expertise in the banking industry, in the financial services industry, who can answer those questions, who are capable and have the experience with how to manage capital funds for institutions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right, we have several other callers with questions. We're going to move on to the caller with the last four digits, 0883. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dwayne.
Okay, where are you from, Brother Dwayne?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Where are you from, Brother Dwayne?
Peoria, Illinois.
Oh, Brother Dwayne from Peoria. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Go right ahead.
All righty. I have a nice comment with that. We was on the Ministry of Agriculture call. We had a lot of we had several coordinators that went through something with their bank, but I did hear that some of those coordinators also worked as managers of banks and things like that. So I definitely see Brother Henry and Sister Kishanda. I see y'all putting this base down. But I truly believe that some of our coordinators in the Ministry of Agriculture and with the co-op that we already have going, it could really benefit your effort in pushing this credit union all over and throughout the nation. So praise be to Allah, brother and sister. Y'all keep up the good work.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Dwayne. We have another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 4152. What's your name and where are you calling from? Caller with the last four digits, 4152. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Okay,
my name is Golden Bilal.
Hello?
Yes, sir. My name is Golden Bilal, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yes, sir. Go ahead and state your question or comment.
United Unity Credit Union, what do I have to do to join it this week? Do I have to have a phone number or a name or what? And a location
yes, sir.
Of it.
Beautiful question, brother. Beautiful question. The email address that we mentioned earlier, and I'm pretty sure we'll mention it again before we get off, which is unity.ucu@gmail.com. We are taking emails, and we're going to send out a survey, and that survey will have certain questions on it. Nothing too personal, but certain questions in regards to if you would like to be a member, some of the stipulations, some of the things that we contractually are told. And so when you get that survey, by sending that survey in, every survey that's returned to us takes us one step closer to being able to open the doors to the credit union. Those surveys really are like gold for us because those surveys show the state that we have a bond, we have a common bond in our state and across our nation. We have a common bond that people are interested in, that we want ownership. And so the biggest thing that you can do to show support for the movement is to send that email or send an email to that address so that we can get the survey out to you. That's going to be our biggest component at the current time is getting those surveys filled out.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for your question, Brother Bilal. And we got another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 8225. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is Sister Emily Muhammad, calling from Miami, Florida. And I just would like clarification. It sounds good. I am already a member of the Teachers Credit Union here in Miami. Would I need to come out of that or stay?
I feel like it says, no, ma'am, you would not need to come out of that. As many Americans today have multiple bank accounts, multiple savings accounts with multiple different banks. So I myself personally bank with three different banks, including a credit union. And so this is an opportunity to bank with a credit union or a banking institution of our own. So, no, ma'am, you would not have to remove or close your account with any other bank institution that you utilize. We're just asking
because
for that.
Yes,
go ahead.
Ma'am. No, I didn't know they were co-op. I didn't know that. I like the membership part of it, but I did not know that credit unions were co-op.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's
that
a
was
good thing. Well, that's very good to know.
Yes, ma'am.
So
that,
if I deposited in the...
I'm sorry, you said
okay.
What?
If I deposited into the teacher's credit union here, I can allocate money to your credit union?
You can allocate money to your credit union, yes, ma'am.
And it becomes a part of yours if I become a member?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes,
sounds
ma'am.
Good.
Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you, Sister Emily. And that is our last caller right now. Oop, I spoke too soon. I spoke too soon. We got another caller. Caller with the last four digits, 2477. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mordecai Harris, and my wife, Keisha Harris, here. The first thing I want to say is that you guys have a absolutely wonderful idea, and the credit union is a great idea there. There's a couple things I heard on this call that kind of stood out to me. The first thing is, of course, the credit union. The second thing is the hair care store. I lived in Rockford. I'm from Illinois, and I worked with the Illinois State Black Chamber, and I remember us trying to put together hair care store in Illinois, in Chicago, and we had such a hard time with finding vendors to supply the stores. But that is great that your guys are doing things there in Rockford. I have two questions for you, though. The first one is, what is your target market?
So our target market that we are looking for is going to be very wide. We're going to use the Nation of Islam, per se, and supporters. So that way there's no real limitation and there's no exclusion, because anybody can be a supporter of anybody that they know that's in the Nation of Islam or of the Nation of Islam in general. So that's the target market. The target market really is more so numbers. We are aiming for our own people, because we want to develop projects in our own communities. Because at the end of the day, the reason we got into this industry was to help finance separation.
Right. Okay. And the other thing I have is I forgot to say we're currently in Houston now. But with that being said, I know you're doing something in the Nation of Islam. But is there also any partnering organizations like the National Black Chamber of Commerce or any other organizations that you guys are partnering with to get this in multiple cities?
Yes, sir. So we're partnering in everything, but we're partnering with other credit unions through the credit union co-op. As far as other black organizations, we haven't partnered with them just for the simple fact that we haven't come in contact with them, if you will. And so, obviously, our closest network is the Nation of Islam. And so that's where we started with our warm market, right? And so from there, as Brother Henry said, we're not excluding anyone, black, white, old, young, male, female. We just haven't had the opportunity to get outside of our warm market yet. So we're starting with our warm market.
Partner-wise, we do have a few other financial institutions as far as financial advisors that we have on board already, and that's through Transamerica Financial Services or Transamerica Financial Advisors. But we haven't got to that stage yet. where we would partner with others. That stage comes down the road after we have enough surveys to move on to the next phase. At that phase, we would start looking for other people, other organizations, those who would want to be involved to help make sure that this thing is really strong. So we're just not at that stage yet. And those who we have partnered with, they already have a direct investment, or they have a direct interest in what's happening with the credit union right now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call, Brother Mordecai. And that is our last caller so far. Callers, you still have opportunity to push the 1-year dial and engage in the conversation. Meanwhile, if I could ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Brother, oh, I don't think I can because someone else just pressed 1. So I'm going to bring on the guest caller, and maybe I'll get a chance afterwards. Caller with the last 4 digits, 7769. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I come like to the Lord. I live in St. Louis, my dear. I come like to family.
Well, man.
Yeah, y'all talk about the bank credit union. I've been had credit union for years and years. I was thinking about changing the bank too. It sound like it sound good. Okay, every time you put money in the savings account, they keep taking the fold out of the savings account. That's why I closed that up. And I want to know why they do that.
Honestly, sis, I don't know why your banking institution does that. I can't answer as to how or why another institution does what they do.
Oh, okay. If I want to open up an account, Naked Islam, okay, how can I get information, get the telephone number from you or something?
Yes, ma'am. Do you have access to email?
No, I don't have an email. No, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. If you give Brother Carlson,
okay, you have a phone number?
Yes, ma'am. If you don't mind Brother Carlson sharing your phone number with me when the call is over, he can forward me your phone and I can communicate with you that way.
Oh, I just want to get the phone number. That way I can call, you know, get up and open up an account. You know, I get so curious. I want to know I can put it in so curious about it. But they want to be noticed. Huh?
Brother Carlson, I have your phone number. I can see your phone number because you're calling me. And what I'll do is we want to keep your phone number private. We don't want to tell everybody your phone number because, you know, we don't want nobody else calling you. So what I'll do is I'll give Sister Kishanda your phone number. And that way she can call you, and that way it'll stay private.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay, that sounds good. I just want to find out all about the bank. Oh, okay, thank you so much. I'll come in.
Okay, so let me take this time, because it looks like this your topic is apparently very popular, and people really want to learn more about it. So let me just say you're right on time. And I also want to say that it was a pleasure meeting both of you at Savior's Day this past Saturday. Both my wife, Majina, and myself were really impressed with what you all are doing. And my wife and I are still enjoying your products. I got the black soap, and it's really a good product, and I can't wait to get your products in the staple goods so we can get more of it. But my question is this. From 93 to 95, I had a bookstore in Oakland, California. And I was really excited about opening up the bookstore because I said, hey, I'm going to be the first one with a bookstore. I'm going to sell to all the Muslims in the area. So when I opened it up, it started out like gangbusters. And then slowly over time, I learned that I really have to change my focus because it just wasn't enough Muslims to support the bookstore. So that's when I started changing my focus. And so my question is, do you all know how your community support is, your local community support? Have you done any surveys for your community support? And if you haven't or you don't, what are your plans to attract local communities to support and participate in your credit union?
Very good question. That's an excellent question. I'll start locally first. Locally, we have a very good pull in the community in the city of Rockford. So on a local level, we will be able to, you know, get knock those surveys out. So our goal that we're hoping for right now, we have some meetings set up with some of the National Council of the Nation of Islam to help us move throughout some other cities where we may not have the same reach, because the beauty of networking and the beauty of the Nation of Islam is that any city where there's a mosque, where the paper's being sold, where brothers and sisters are organized, that we have an ability to reach people in that community through the mosque, through the study group, through those members with a little bit of assistance. And so we're really praying to Allah that with the guidance of the National Council, as we approach that meeting, that we can use some of our resources amongst ourselves to go after our community. So it's not, you know, us owning a beauty supply store, we understand that, you know, the Muslim community alone is not going to keep our beauty supply store open. 99.9% of our customers that shop with us are not in the Nation of Islam. And even with the national banking institution, as we've seen from the riots recently, we understand that people understand that separation is the solution. And so there are millions of our people out there that, if given the opportunity to participate in actually bringing a physical change, a physical reality, and changing the conditions where we live at and how we live, there's millions of us that are on that same wavelength. So we just have to touch the people and let the people know that this is something that's good for you. And that's also why you develop a board around the business. So that way people, historically black people, just don't trust other black people with money. And so that's why you have a board. So that way everything is governed through that board. It's not a personal fiefdom. So even though me and my wife are the founders, it's not me and my wife's credit union. It's a credit union for the people. It's a national credit union that's ran by the member owners. And then all of those member owners have equal say-so in it. Me and my wife just happen to be the ones who did the footwork and the legwork to establish it. But by no means would it be the personal fiefdom of Brother Henry and Sister Kishanda. This is something that can live on beyond us. So, I hope that answers the question.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Brother Henry. So we're down to the last 7 minutes, and Sister Sherry, I'm going to hand it back. Let me look in the queues. No more questions at this time. So, Sister Sherry, I'm going to hand it back to you.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. I actually was trying to wait till all the questions got done. I have a question of my own, and then we can finish it out from there. So I'm not sure if this is the same, but I wanted to share. So, like, I'm a member of a credit union where I live locally. And when I signed up, they gave me, like, a list of, like, approved ATMs that I could go to. And say I went to one of those ATMs that wasn't necessarily owned by my credit union. But if I went to one of those ATMs and withdrew some money, the ATM may charge me a user's fee or $3 or $4 or whatever. But I was told by my credit union, if I went to one of those approved ATMs on the list in the network, that even if they charged me a fee, the next month my credit union would reimburse me back that fee and put it in my account. So that's a feature that I really like. So even if my credit union doesn't have ATMs in as many locations as some other credit unions, if they're as part of that network and they have like a little sticker on the screen and I can see, okay, this is part of the network that my credit union is in, I can, even though they charge me a fee to withdraw this money, I'll get it put back in my account the next month. So I'm hoping that's a feature that can be a part of the Unity Credit Union. Is that a benefit of being part of a co-op? Is that a good example?
It's a good example. I can't guarantee you that exact feature will exist within Unity Credit Union, but what I can tell you is that instead of going to an ATM, part of the co-op would be that you can go to a drive-up of a credit union and pull money out as if, you know, you're driving up to the headquarters location here in Rockford. And just like any other banking institution, our credit union will have access to thousands of ATMs across the country where our members have access to those ATMs. How exactly money given back to you if it's taken out for using the ATM and how that works, I don't have that written down. And it's really not my decision to make, as Henry just stated. Those kind of questions, I wouldn't make that determination, you know, right here, right now, as Sister Keshonda. That's something that our board would have to look at and what's best for our members and what works best for our credit union itself.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so all the better if there were no fees at all, if it was part of it, but getting that back kind of helped with that. So I understand those details may not be available right now, but just wanted to see if that was a possible scenario that could happen. And so I know there are businesses that may have had a difficulty getting loans to start a business or restart a business. And so would it be a benefit for the member get preferential consideration when applying for a loan for like a small business loans? Because I hear, even though there are programs for small business loans, very few of us get those small business loans. Can you talk about that, or if you have any knowledge or experiences with that type of scenario?
I do. I have a plethora of experience with applying for PPP and small business loans this, and COVID-19 helped that. And to this day, has received zilch as a small black-owned business. And so one of the things that I'm passionate about with opening a credit union, and something that I personally want to see, is giving our people access to capital to build structures and to build community. And part of building communities is owning small businesses. And so one of the things that I want to see with our credit union is that if someone wants to borrow money for a small business, I don't want to see us turn people away simply because their credit is not good. I've had dozens of conversations with black people and with just different people in my community who say, man, I don't have the best of credit. But then they lay out the best business plan you could possibly think of. You're like, wow, that's a great idea. And literally the only thing that's stopping them is they don't have the capital to get this thing off the ground. But they do all the legwork. They do all the research. They put everything they have into making sure that this is going to work. They study. They research. I mean, they do what you would expect a person to do that wants to open a small business. And then they get to the door, and they don't have the capital to open their doors. And so, as I said, one of the things that I personally want to see in having our own institution is not having our people to have to go through that, not having to go to a bank and they tell you $650 just ain't enough for you to open a small business loan. But hey, you can go get this car loan if you want to, but not a small business loan. So again, that's something I personally want to see, and I'm passionate about that. And so as Brother Henry said, as someone who's founded it, as someone who's started the groundwork, you know, that's something that I'm praying and I'm hoping that can be a part of our institution. And my husband is reaching over here because he has something to say to you.
In addition to what she's saying, one other feature that we want to offer that's not offered in our community specifically is access to information. And when I say access to information, not like the internet, but for me and my wife, part of what gave us our business savvy that really gave us a boost, we paid nearly $17,000 for a consulting group to pretty much train us in how to, you know, do business on the highest level. But everybody doesn't have that type of capital to go get trained. That's not even talking about going into business. But the information that we learn, part of what we want to be able to do, that information is priceless. But if we can feed that into the community, and that information is not just good for Rockford, that information is good for Compton, California, it's good for Brooklyn, New York, it's good for Houston, it's good for Detroit. And so most of that information that we learn, that information is not taught in high schools. It's not taught in colleges. That information, you really have to be in the know already. And it's not what you know. A lot of times it's who you know. And so we want to make that connection for our people to be able to feed people. Well, how do I start a business? How do I write a business plan? Where do I get the capital? Where do I get the funds? How do I put myself in position? How do I search out businesses? How do I write contracts? All these type of things that are not taught to us. But if we have the knowledge to know how to do these things and knowing that, even though we've talked about capital a lot in this interview, money is the last part of your business plan, of any business, because you have to have the business before the money will even come. And so we want to educate our people, and this type of institution will allow us the infrastructure needed to educate people. So maybe you don't qualify to open a business with bad credit where you're at, but once you equip yourself with some of these tools, you'll be more than capable of opening a business, and not just opening it, but being able to sustain your business, because it's easy to open a business. It's very hard to sustain a business, maintain a business, and break, you know, six figures, seven figures. That's the harder part. So we want to be able to feed that information to our community. It's the idea of, we could give you a fish, but it's better if we teach you how to fish.
Yes, sir.
And
thank
on that
you.
Note, come we on. Are out of time. Maybe Brother Henry and Sister Kishana can just get some quick information on how the people can learn more, but our internet listeners are off the line right now.
Oh, wow. Yes, sir. So please reach out to us at unity.ucu@gmail.com. Again, that email address is unity.ucu@gmail.com.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, and may Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Razadon and Baba, they went down to P Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.